Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Friday morning as we approach yet another day of broadcasting live right here in the Grace Hour, wrapping up another wonderful week of broadcasting. And this week's theme has been, well, from my perspective, outstanding, in the sense that it's such a great theme. And the messages that we've heard, and I'm certain that the message that we'll be listening to today will continue to complement and encourage us to grow in our capacity to understand and to incorporate these wonderful principles that are, of course, God is in charge. And we've been talking about the principles of sovereignty and providence. And you know what's interesting about that word sovereignty, that within it you find the word reign. Yes, R-E-I-G-N. Again, reminding us that God reigns. God rules. God is in charge. He's controlling everything. What a source of great hope and comfort in all of our lives just to know that great truth. So today we'll be, again, sharing a message with you to get things started on this Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And as the program continues, well, we will open the phone lines and invite you to join us. And we hope that many of you will do just that. Again, pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us live, participate in the broadcast, share your thoughts with us. Again, you can ask your questions, perhaps a testimony that our listeners would be encouraged to hear around the globe, a counseling need that we could assist you with, and your prayer requests. Well, please know that they are always welcome right here on the Grace Hour. When the phone lines are open, here are the numbers for you to dial so that you can join us on the broadcast. 800-338-7060 is toll-free throughout all of North America. And locally in the greater Baltimore area, the number for you to dial, 410-483-3700. And we look forward to having you join us with your comments, questions, testimonies, your counseling needs, prayer requests, whatever the nature of your call. We look forward to having you join us on the broadcast. And when those phone lines open up, and we will remind you when they do indeed open up, join us. Want to welcome everyone listening on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and of course, the various podcasts that you can find the Grace Hour on, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, to name a few. And if you can't listen to us live, friends, don't forget, you can always archive today's broadcast and catch up with us a little bit later. Of course, you wouldn't be able to call us live, but you would have the opportunity to listen to the program in its entirety. So thanks again for joining us on this Friday morning. Today's theme, well, we've kind of narrowed it down to the fact that Jesus told us, reminded us, that the very hairs of our head are numbered. And together with that, all things work together for the good in Romans, the 8th chapter. And here to help to develop those thoughts, Pastor Schibelli.
Good afternoon.
Good
Almost
morning.
Said morning.
It is morning.
That's right. Wow. I got it all reversed.
You got it mixed up there.
Yeah.
It's morning.
That's what happens when you stay up late watching a Boston Celtics
beat
the Warriors. Two of my favorite teams, you know.
Oh, good.
No, I like the Warriors, too, because they play like the old Celtics used to play. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics play like the Celtics used to play. And they beat the Warriors, who play like the Celtics.
I know. Well, I don't really have a dog in the fight, so I'm just enjoying it without getting emotional.
Come on, Pastor Love. You're from Massachusetts.
I know.
You got to have a dog in the fight.
I want them to win, because if the Celtics win the championship, that will give them
more than
18 all-time, one more than the Los Angeles Lakers, which makes me very happy.
I like what Al Horford said last night. He just said, I really want to, first thing they said, like, tell us about how you were able to, he scored a lot of points. He says, you know, it was God.
Oh, he's had
God. Yeah.
He's had a great testimony all year long.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing, you know, that athletes would have an opportunity, that God would give them a purpose, you know. That's what we're talking about.
That's right.
Having a purpose from God, from Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good. I was speaking this morning on a Zoom to India, And I made a statement from Romans 8:28. What about a person that doesn't love God? All things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. What happens if there's no relationship with God and they're not in God's purpose? Could we say nothing works together for good? It could be very easily said, nothing works together for good, you know, because God will use those things to draw people back into his purpose. So all things work together. And I like how it says all things, not just some things, but all things work together for divine good. That's actually how it reads. Not just human good, not just good as we interpret what good is, but all things work together for divine good to them who love God. And obviously the love starts from God, and God loves us, and then we love God in response. But it works together for divine good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, the word purpose is an interesting word in the Greek language. It's protithemi, sometimes seen prothesis. And it actually means where you've been placed, where you've been placed. And I think it's amazing for us as believers that we have been placed in Jesus Christ. And if you read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, you'll see that said so many times. We are placed in Jesus Christ. We are placed in the church, which is his body. And we are actually placed in the gospel, where we have been placed. So where we have been placed, all things work together for good. So it's very important for me as a believer, for you as a believer, to know exactly where we've been placed. At salvation, obviously, and absolutely true in Christ. Then there comes this great challenge and adventure of faith when it comes to a church, placed in a church. And a church is not just defined as obviously a building or some place that I grew up in my whole life and I'm accustomed to this particular place because of my family or because of its location, it's close to me, or because I kind of like different aspects of it. But it's a church, and it's living in the purpose of God. A church having the purpose of God. Obviously, Jesus, who is God, has the purpose of God. But does a church live in the purpose of God? Does it live in the purpose of God? And sad to say, today, that's not always the case. The church is living in its own purpose, which has nothing to do with God's purpose. What is God's purpose? You know, and that is so key. So I can spend a lot of time in the church that has no purpose. And I need in my life to have the purpose of God. But will I find that without being in a church that has an eternal purpose? So it's so important that a church, first and foremost, has an eternal purpose. And then when people come to that church, they can make a choice whether they want to live in eternal purpose. It's still their choice. They can choose to say, no, I'm just going to be churchgoer once a week or come to church and that's going to be it. But at least there's an opportunity to be in fellowship and to hear from a pulpit and a church that's in God's perfect purpose. This is really so important in my Christian life. And so all things work together for good. Paul said something to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says he's saved us, thank God for that, by grace. He's called us, and we don't have a lot of time to spend on the five calls of God. And he saved us and called us into his own purpose. See, it's very particular there. His own purpose. Not my purpose. Not the purpose of a group of people that think this is what the purpose should be. But it's his own purpose and grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, by the way, in the purpose of God, there's always sufficient grace to operate in the purpose of God. Can you imagine if God would draw you into his purpose and not meet you in his purpose? That would be absolutely absurd. But in the purpose of God, you receive God's grace, God's nature and character. And it was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. That's amazing. That really speaks of that which is eternal, that we have had a purpose given by Jesus Christ himself to us in eternity, in all of eternity, long before we ever made our appearance on this earth, where we have been placed. Paul said to Timothy a little bit later on in the same epistle, that, and that's in chapter 3, verse 10, you have fully known. And he starts off talking about what he has fully known. And he gives 9 things that have been fully known. But in one of them, or in this list of 9 things that he has given, he says, you have fully known my purpose. And the word fully known is a word, akolatheo, which means you have walked with me and you fully known my purpose. And I think sometimes it's very important for us as believers to have this kind of fellowship with people of God, walking with people of God. Can I discover my own purpose or the purpose of God by just sitting in my house and watching something on television or some device of some type, which is good, and it can be beneficial to those who are involved with a local church. But I'm thinking that many people miss the purpose of God. Now, what would be something that the enemy would like to do? The enemy of the devil, the demons, the flesh, and the world. What would be an objective? Okay, so you're saved. I can't do anything about that. This is the enemy speaking. I can't change that, all right? Maybe I could bring forth a lie that makes you think that could change, but it's not going to be changed. So he would love to get the church to operate outside of God's purpose, to get a believer to operate outside of God's purpose. Therefore, he will live a life that's totally ineffective, not bearing fruit at all, just going through life, making money, having a job, maybe even having a family and all of that, but missing the purpose of God. I read a story about David Livingstone, who was a very effective medical trainee and assistant to a doctor in the slums of London. But then God called him to Africa. See, that was a good thing he was doing, but it wasn't what God had for the purpose that he had for David Livingstone, which was to walk 37,000 miles in Africa, bringing forth the gospel. That was the purpose of God. And so sometimes we can get all kinds of advice from people and all kinds of wisdom from people and miss the purpose of God, where we've been placed. And God so much desires to have us meet him in his purpose, not in my own purpose. I thought for sure I had this idea of what I was going to do with my Christian life. I had it all figured out, you know. And then God drew me totally into his purpose. And it is a constant battle to continue to remain in the purpose of God, the overall purpose of God, where we've been placed. We have been placed there positionally. It's all about the experiential life of being in the purpose of God. Peter, you want to fish for fish the rest of your life? And it took a while for Peter even to figure this out. It took 5 miracles on the Sea of Galilee for Peter finally to realize in John chapter 21 that I've called you to fish for men. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And you're out fishing for fish again. And I told you from henceforth in Luke chapter 5 not to do this again. Your purpose, along with these other Galileans, was to be fishers of men. And you can't live in anything but the purpose of God. So, Father, we thank you today for our time on the air. And we pray, God, that you would help us to draw near and grow in getting to know your purpose. Key is being loved by God and having God minister to us so that we reveal God himself to a lost and dying world. So bless our time today. Give us callers, give us responders. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you're listening live to The Grace Hour, friends, on this Friday morning, and we're going to open the phone lines right away and give you the opportunity to join us live and on the air. And we've got 45 minutes left in our broadcast. Plenty of time to hear from you. So don't hesitate and don't wait. immediately. Go to your phones, fill up the lines, and join us on our broadcast. We'd love to hear what your comments are, your questions, testimonies, counseling needs. And as always, we love to hear from you regarding your prayer needs. And we can ask the body of Christ to join you for whatever those needs might be. Here are the numbers, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in the greater Baltimore area, where we're broadcasting from locally, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. I want to take a moment and remind our listeners about the upcoming Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be happening the third week of June, and it begins on the 20th of June with the Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament. This year, it's going to be held at Mountain Branch Country Club, not too far from where we are here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. It's in Joppatown, Maryland, and it's going to be a great day of fellowship, golfing, and Pastor Shalab will be there. I think he mentioned yesterday he may be golfing with us on that particular day, but he will also be there for our luncheon, and we'll be sharing the first message, officially speaking, of the International Convention at the site at Mountain Branch Country Club. Everything begins at 7:30 a.m., breakfast, and, of course, registration, and then the players will head out at 9 a.m., the luncheon with Pastor Schaller at 2 p.m. The cost is $125 per golfer. If you'd like to come up just for the luncheon, that's $25 per person. You can register at ggwo.org/events, and we're going to have a great day to kick off the International Convention with the Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament. Now, some might ask, what's the purpose of the tournament? Why are we having it? Well, it's used to raise money, funds, to send international students to our Bible college here at MBCNS. And we have seen so many of these students come from different parts of the globe to be trained here in our Bible college and then to go back out into the fields that are white and ready to harvest. So, again, it's a great cause, and you'll be able to help send some of those Bible college students here to get their education and then watch them be sent into all the world to preach the gospel. So if you can, join us. It's 20th of June. It's Monday, beginning at 7:30 a.m. More information, go to the website, ggwo.org/events.
Golf. You play golf?
I don't think if you saw me, you would say that.
As they say in Ghana, you try oh.
I try oh. I'm out there supporting my teammates.
That's great.
I wish I could make a more of a contribution, but it's a frustrating game, I have to tell you.
Well, if you're not like in tune and being trained for it and mentally practicing, it can be. I'm sure for people that really play it often and whatnot, that and they're into it. Their mind is into it.
But
you're into hockey and basketball.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's kind of like different. I often wondered about it, you know, and I tried. I played golf for quite a while. My grandfather one time gave me a set of clubs called Top Flights. I guess they were good clubs.
Sure.
Top Flights. And I didn't do very well in golf. You know, I just don't have the patience. You know, you get these massive drives to the green and then you five putt. It's like, you know, all the effort. So
it can be very frustrating.
Yes, it can be. You have to have a lot of patience. Do we have a caller?
We do. Our first caller on this Friday morning is Deborah from Indiana.
And Indiana?
Deborah, yes. Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you. Great message this morning. And I just love listening to you all week. It's just really uplifting me. But I wanted to comment on yesterday's message about valleys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was in one in 2018, and I didn't, you know, expect anything to happen. I mean, nothing was wrong that I knew of. And to make it short, I ended up in the hospital dying. I had cystis in my stomach. And they called in the family and all that. I was out. They had to put because of pain. But long story short, it was like a three-month experience. And in that valley, I seen Jesus standing with me in the valley of death, and it just looked like everything was kind of dead looking, and I didn't see his face, and we didn't turn our heads or anything, but like I tell everybody, I don't know if it was the medication that had me under, but sure enough, I was standing in the valley with Jesus, and he walked me out of that valley. And I thought when you were talking about valleys, I just had to share that with you.
Oh, we appreciate that
testimony. You know, and I just see it plainly today. It's just he stayed with me. He's been with me all along, and he's just so glorious. So I just wanted to share that with you, and thank you for your message this morning.
Yeah, it was a good one, and we appreciate you taking the time, Deborah, just to share that. And, you know, think about this, because there may be some that might not have that kind of a testimony. They say, well, I haven't been in a valley of that nature. But inevitably, every one of us, according to Psalm 23, verse 4, will someday walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And
yes,
what's the hope that we have? Well,
yeah,
the Lord is with us. He says, you are with me, and thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even if you haven't faced a serious valley yet, we know that that day is coming for all of us, and he promises to navigate us through that, the valley of the shadow of death, and to bring us into his presence.
Amen.
Absolutely. And you know, they had me like 0% to live. They called in the family and everybody, and I ended up, I had a trach and everything, and I mean, it was last call, and I mean, you know, he's the ultimate physician, so, you know, I got out of that valley, you know, but I was ready to go home, but he wouldn't let me, so still here.
Praise
so
God.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you,
so
you for calling, Deborah, and thanks for listening to the Grace Hour.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It really, it's changed me a lot. It's helped me a lot. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Pastor Love, it's a great psalm. You know, just think about how personal God is in this Psalm 23. He's my shepherd. Verse 2, he leads me. Says that twice. He leads me. He leads me. He restores me. Verse 3. He leads me again. He leads me. Okay? He is with me. Thy rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's so personal. That Psalm 23 is such a personal psalm. And what we need is to meet a personal God when we have these. Everybody likes the mountains. We understand that. But to meet God in the valleys, and I think that is really amazing. And so his purpose, where he's placed us, you know, and there's a lot of things that we might not like ask God for or pray for, but God allows them to happen just so we can grow and get to know him. Maybe we would never get to know him if we didn't go through some of these trials. How come the Bible says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold? I mean, the trial of your faith is what? Wait a minute, God. Is that what you just said? The trial of my faith is more precious. It's precious, the trial. And you think about how they met God, the Hebrew boys met Jesus in the furnace, you know. And maybe there's times where God is calling me into situations, and I don't want to go in because I'm looking at the situation by sight and like thinking about living in my emotions towards the situation. But God is calling me into it, you know. And I think that's key.
It is key. And as you mentioned, it's the trial of our faith. It's more precious than gold. And then he reminds us that gold will perish, but we're not going
yeah,
to.
Right.
So again, what God is developing in our lives is something eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The gold perishes. I mean, that's you know, no inconsequential, but us, God's in the process of developing us. And you mentioned yesterday, Pastor Stephen said that without the trials that he sends, which all have a beneficial purpose for our lives, he says there will be no spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It just
yeah.
won't happen.
Right.
So if people are hoping that their lives are going to remain undisturbed and that God will only show them a pathway of comfort and convenience. There's no developing one's faith without trial, testing, suffering, pain.
I think that's not that people go around praying, God, give me suffering and pain.
No, no. There's
afflictions and persecutions.
We've got plenty of it already.
Yeah, but just that you're in a body of sin and death, number one. You're in a world that is contrary to the nature of God, and you have a devil of demons that are on the attack against God. So these things definitely, if we live a spiritual life, we're going to have conflict on every side.
Yeah.
You know, but thanks be unto God that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.
Yeah. And isn't there, within Christianity, there are movements that would like to eliminate all of those tests and trials and suffering? In other words, there are people who believe that there is such a thing as healing in the atonement, and what they teach, and to some degree, in an extraordinary way, they say there should be no sickness in the life of the believer. Absolutely none. And if there is, the deficiency is found in the believer, not God, because he died for all of those sicknesses. But that's not what that passage teaches in Isaiah chapter 53. So this whole idea of healing in the atonement leaves many believers, when they are sick and when trouble does come from a physical point of view, that something must be wrong with them.
Well, how do those people like deal with the subject of death, that everybody dies? What isn't death sickness? It's like you're dying, or you're going to die at some point, whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old or 100.
You're
going to die.
That's right.
You know, well, why can't your doctrine and your prayers prevent that? Prevent people from dying? It cannot. It's appointed unto men once to die. You know, so it's such a ridiculous thing. And you find it like all over the world, these doctrines. And people gravitate towards them because it sounds good, you know. It sounds good to their flesh, you know, and whatnot. And then they can evaluate certain believers that are going through these kind of difficulties, whether trials or sicknesses or something like that, and say they're not walking with God.
Exactly.
Because they're experiencing those things. And what do you say about Jesus being crucified? You know, I know eternal plan of God, that's different, they'll say, you know. But did Paul have trouble in 2 Timothy? Did he have any trouble? I guess he did. You
know? Yeah. Well, even in his conversion, God told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel, and I must show him how great things he will suffer for my name's sake.
Yeah.
Incredible. Phone lines are open. You can join us, 800-338-7060. And locally in Baltimore, it's 410-483-3700. We want to pray today, friends, for Pastor Duke Horton. Pastor Larry has informed us he's in a lot of pain, and they're seeking God's wisdom as to what to do next. So, Father, and again, we do want to mention that we heard from him a couple of days ago here in the Grace Hour. He did sound quite weak. And he did sound as if he were going through something physically. So, Lord, we do pray for our precious brother, Pastor Duke Horton. We're asking that you'd bring a healing touch to his body, Lord. Give those that will be treating him wisdom. And we just pray for the restoration of his health, Lord. We have seen a remarkable comeback physically in his life. We want that to continue. And we are believing, as a body of believers, that you will do just that. For your name's sake, Lord. Do it for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The phone lines are open.
Yep.
You can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Please don't hesitate, friends. Half an hour left in the broadcast, plenty of time to take your calls. So even if several of you joined us immediately, we can take your calls.
Plenty of time.
Amen.
We have a question from Pastor Ben in Ghana. You see it up there, Pastor Benjamin Tawia?
Yes. It says, could you share some thoughts on what it means for a church to have an eternal purpose?
Well, an eternal purpose obviously includes something that's eternal. They have an eternal purpose and perspective on life. Number one, is a church involved in the Word of God, preaching and teaching and discipling people in God's Word? If a church says they have an eternal purpose and there's no teaching and training and discipling of people with the Bible, then that cannot be true. Number two, is there an experience of body life, relationships, and fellowship, not just church attendance on a Sunday morning or maybe even during the week for a couple of hours, but are there activities in that particular church or ministry where fellowship and relationships and discipleship is taking place? Number three, does that church have a outreach, reaching out to lost people? Are there outreaches in that church? A church with an eternal purpose wants to see other people get saved and come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and have a desire to plant more churches. That's a church with an eternal purpose. A church with an eternal purpose prays. Prayer is part of God's eternal purpose, that God is has a great desire for us to pray without ceasing. A church with an eternal purpose has a missions emphasis, as we talked about church planting and whatnot. So those are some of the keys to having a church or growing in the eternal purpose of God. And obviously it has to start someplace. We're not talking about people, you know, having these full-blown activities that are taking place, but beginning somewhere, beginning with a prayer meeting, beginning with an outreach, beginning with teaching a Bible class, you know, beginning and understanding body life and having friendships and relationships. A church with an eternal purpose. Not just playing church, just playing the game of church. There's a lot of that that goes on. Just playing the church game. Yeah, I go to church, you know. But what does that actually mean? What is your involvement? Is this church a church that has an eternal purpose, or is it just functioning, you know, as some kind of religious organization only? Born again, yes, but just an organization instead of an organism.
You certainly don't want to be part of a church in name only.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was even one of the churches, the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it says mm-hmm. that they had a name that said they were alive, but they were dead.
They were dead.
I mean, that's frightening.
Maybe it was called the Church of the Living Dead. No, the Church of the Living God.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It was dead.
But it was dead.
But it was dead.
I mean, Christ has to be the one that evaluates it.
And you know, the interesting thing about it is, sometimes people don't even know it. The deception is so powerful, as we heard Wednesday night about strong delusion. Deception is so powerful that they actually think they're like walking with God. And how does what you're doing compare to the scriptures? There's the question. You want to find out about a church? Look at the book of Acts. Look at the church in Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, the church in Philippi, the church in Ephesus, the churches, you know, in Thessaloniki. Look at those churches and see what is written in those church epistles. It's incredible, you know.
It sure is.
And you'll find out what a church should be doing based upon the scriptures.
Well, Ashley has reached out to us, and her question is, how do you know if your church is the right church?
Well, I just gave you some indications of what is a good church or a right church. Is the church having the Word of God as the center of its worship? They who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Is the Word of God taught in the church? And even maybe having Bible classes, not just a once-a-week thing. Number two, are there relationships in the church and friendships, relationships that take place? Number three, does that church reach out with the gospel to its neighborhood or to its city? Is it thinking about the gospel and the mission? Number four, does the church pray, like we said? See, these are indications that I would know that the church is the right church. Not just because they use the name Jesus and they say praise the Lord once in a while and they have a choir and a building and all of that, but are they functioning in the fundamental foundations of what a church ought to be? And you can see that in the book of Acts. And some people are in churches because their family has gone to that church their whole lives. Maybe it's right in their neighborhood and they don't have to go very far, whatever, you know, whatever the reason is. Maybe they do not like spiritual life and they want carnality, so they stay in a church that's not spiritual but carnal. But if it's spiritual, the Spirit gives the word. The Spirit is certainly prevalent in the body of Christ. The Spirit wants the gospel to go forward. The Spirit wants to pray. So Holy Spirit filled.
Yeah, it's so crucial. When we were in Haiti recently and met with the Greater Grace pastors, that was one of the admonitions that we shared with them, to make sure that they continued to proclaim the message of the grace of God, because that was Paul's message. He was so adamant about it. We read about it, that in the book of Galatians, and he was so determined that no one would come in after him and really undo the gospel of the grace of God, which was happening in the provinces of Galatia.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. He said he was shocked. Marvel is the word thamuzo, and it means like, I'm literally like, I can't believe this. I'm in shock. What's happening? I'm so surprised that this happened, by the way, so soon.
Yeah, quickly.
And somebody said that was only, it was 6 years.
Wow.
6 or 7 years. And he calls that quick, you know? That was quickly done. And they were Judaizers that came in with legalism. Well, they came in using the Bible, but using it incorrectly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and all because they wanted people to glory in their flesh, because if legalism gets a hold in a person's soul, that's what it leads to.
Yes,
it leads to basically saying, "Look at me, look at the way I live my Christian life, look at the example of my faith," and that's not what we're to be proclaiming. We're to be proclaiming, "Look at Jesus, look at the cross,
yes,
look at what He's done." Glory in that. Don't glory in anything that you can do.
I mean, he actually called them foolish in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And he actually, what that word means is you're non-thinking. Anoitos. You don't even think. You're not thinking correctly. Oh, foolish Galatians. Then when you don't think correctly, what happens? You get bewitched. The word bewitched is used. And it means somebody has cast a spell over you. That's interesting, you know. A spell was cast over the Galatians. You know, you've been bewitched. Wow. That's interesting. And that's what can happen when I am not under sound teaching and doctrine. The enemy can come in and he can bring in, you know, this spirit that's wrong spirit, demonic spirit, and they can very well operate with people that are non-thinkers.
Yeah. So that's a good answer, Ashley, to your question. You got to kind of ask yourself, am I hearing the gospel of the grace of God? Am I hearing finished work teaching? Am I being encouraged and built up in my faith every time I attend that local church? And again, if you can't answer yes and amen to those questions and other ones that are similar to it, you know, God may have to lead you to a local assembly where you can hear His truth. Appreciate the question, and thanks so much for listening to the Grace Hour. You can join us, friends. Phone lines are open, and we've only heard from one of you today in our broadcast.
Hey,
so,
what's happening out there?
Pastor Shibeli and I, we need some company. 800-338.
We're alone. We're lonely. Would you please call in?
Well, there you go. If you want a song, we'll give you one. 800-338-7060. Toll free in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700.
Our engineer, Cody, wanted to sing, but I told him, sing in the shower.
Yeah, I've heard Cody sing. It's not something that we want to do publicly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great technician, great engineer.
He tries.
Does so many other things well, but sometimes you just got to leave the singing to the singers.
You leave the singing to the singers.
I mean, I fall into that same category.
We all do.
Yeah.
Can we, what else we have here?
Marion has reached out to us. She says, I want to thank God for the Greater Grace World Outreach. She says, I've been in the church since 1975.
Ooh.
I heard the word in Framingham, Massachusetts. I heard the truth there. And John 8:32, that truth has set me free.
47 years.
Since. 47 years.
Ooh.
She's been set free.
Wow.
And liberated. Marion, that's a great testimony. And I think it also just kind of justifies what we just shared with one of our listeners, Ashley, which is when you hear the right message, there's no need to go around and to search for a different kind of food because you're getting fed with
yes.
manna from above.
I think she must have joined the church, a Comes to Greater Grace Church, when she was 3 years old, because I don't think she's more than 50.
No.
So
no,
that's, yeah. Isn't that true, Marian? Yes, you came. We have a caller.
Lauren is joining us from upstate New York, Port Chester, New York.
Lauren,
welcome to the Grace Hour.
Pastor Love, welcome back from what was it, Haiti you were at, or Dominican Republic, or was it?
Haiti, yes, thank you.
Welcome, in any event, welcome back, and good morning to you too, Pastor Savelli. I just want to quickly testify to a very enlightening providence I had. It was a couple of nights ago. I was in Bronx, New York, what's known as Little Italy. I was in the car with my cousin and her husband and my brother and his wife. And all of a sudden, there was a taxi cab that came right by the right side of the our car there. And my cousin from Queens, she noticed that it said on the window of the car, of the cab, Ephesians 2:8-9, and under it says humble. I wouldn't have known that except that she saw. So then she had me explain it to her.
Mm, beautiful. And did you?
Yes, I did. I explained that it's by grace and not by our own deservings. And she wanted to know about the humble part. And I said, well, you know, that presupposition that we are saved by grace and apart from any merit of our own, it is a humbling proposition, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
I don't know if I'm using the propositions the right word or not, but I think you all know what I'm trying to communicate.
Absolutely, amen. Yeah. I mean, that it does take humility to say, God, I accept the fact that you did everything, without exception, for my eternal salvation, and there are no works, and there's no merit, and there's no personal sacrifice that I could contribute to what you finished.
Right. Listen, if you don't mind, I have to excuse myself. I don't mean to be rude or anything. I'm enjoying this immensely, and I'll write you a letter telling about the Boston Celtics sometime.
Amen.
Okay. All right, Lauren. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
God bless. 800-338-7060. Let's go next to George, who's calling us from Baltimore. George, welcome.
You better. Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Shabelli. Great great show. Love you dearly. Yeah, you know, I was reading in James in the Amplified, and I was really blessed by these three verses, and I'm just going to just read them real quickly.
Sure.
In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. And it was such just a blessing to read that. And also with Dr. Stevens' message yesterday, you know, and you're thinking about the trials and what trials do is it points us right towards God, you know, and we can't grow without them. You know, mm-hmm. how do you grow? And then there's the process of sanctification, like Pastor Schaller's message from Sunday, you know. And it's just a great blessing, you know, just to be, you know, if you're in a trial and you grow, it's great, you know, you're going to come out on the other side. Like Pastor Shabelli, when you said 1 Peter 1:7, I think trials are as precious as gold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so awesome, sir. But I just love you, and I just wanted to share that and also say I got to get this in. Go Celtics!
Uh-oh.
Well, wow, well, that's...
We're liable to have some New York people not real happy about that.
That's saying something when you're a diehard New Yorker fan, and yet you're pulling for the Celtics, George?
I'll pull for them Boston Celtics anytime. The Yankees may be the king of baseball, but the Celtics were always the king of basketball.
I'm hoping that people use sports as an opportunity to bring forth the message of the gospel.
Yeah, just
that's
like
the key.
Al Horford of the Boston Celtics
that's
has been
key.
Very, very vocal about his faith after each and every game, and I'm so grateful to hear that. That's a very
Amen.
Encouraging word.
Yes, he gave glory to God last night after the Celtic victory,
that's
Al
right.
Horford.
I love it. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
it's all about.
It is. It's about God, and it's you know what you do, Pastor Love and Pastor Billy Alexson with Sports Power and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's God being glorified. You know,
yeah.
through the sports. Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, you know,
yep.
George, while we were in Haiti during that basketball game, the pastor of that very large church in Cap-Haitien, Haiti, was at the game, and he was doing some interpreting for us as we addressed the crowd. And he said to me during the evening while in the stadium, he said, "This is amazing." He said that God could use basketball to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I reminded him, I said, "Did you know that basketball was invented in Springfield, Massachusetts?"
Naismith.
Dr.
That's right.
James
Very
Naismith.
Close to my house.
And
yeah.
he created the game so that young men could hear the gospel.
Wow.
Was it
wow.
the YMCA?
That's right,
was
the YMCA.
Yeah.
Young
wow.
Men's Christian Association.
I used to drive by the place where it started all the time.
Wow.
That was our big thing. Basketball started here.
That's right.
In Springfield, Massachusetts. That's
yep.
why the Hall of Fame is there, right?
Yes.
And I told that to the pastor there in Cap-Haitien, and he marveled. He said, "You're kidding me." He said,
wow.
"Basketball was invented for the sole purpose of preaching the gospel." I said, yes, and here we are doing it tonight.
Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Love you.
Thank you, George.
Thank you. Love you.
Phone lines are open. We still have time enough to take your call, friends, if you want to squeeze it in at 410-483-3700. And David is up next from South Bristol, Maine. Hello, David.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I think it was the message from Pastor Stevens yesterday, or I was listening to it somewhere. Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war.
Yes.
And I was wondering what that meant. There is no discharge in that war. I guess it means when you die, you die.
He was referring to the nature of the conflict that we find ourselves in. You know, there's no discharge in the sense that you've heard people get an honorable discharge or a dishonorable discharge from the military. He was essentially saying that when you're in God's army, there's no discharge until you go home to be with him.
Okay, so that kind of takes us down to verse 12, where it says, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him." So,
yeah. In other words, stay in the valley, stay in the conflict, stay in the battle until God delivers you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, when you get older and your body starts falling apart, and it's easy to get in the valley. You know, you lay down and take a nap, and all kinds of things go through your mind. Every sin you've ever committed, and just the fact that you won't be here much longer, and it can be a valley.
I think what's important is to remember your sin no more.
That's right.
In other words,
remember,
like,
they're all forgiven.
Yeah, they're all gone, forgiven. They're washed in the blood. The finished work took care of them all. And I'm not going to think about those things because, number one, my flesh would like to bring that up, and the devil would like to cooperate with my flesh to make it become evident so that I would be occupied with an old sin nature that was crucified. When's the last time you talked to a dead person?
I can't say.
Don't answer that. No. When's the last time? We don't do that. We don't walk around. Like, you know, one of my relatives used to have a funeral home. So I tried that a few times when I was young. To talk to somebody that was gone. They never responded. You know, they never responded. And we've been crucified with Christ, right?
That's right.
We are dead.
I find I have to keep rehearsing the finished work in the blood
of
Christ
and, we all do.
And the love of God over and over again every day.
That's right, yes. And be reminded that with every sin that we've ever committed or will ever commit, the declaration, the public declaration, has come from God, and He has declared us not guilty.
Not guilty.
Well, praise God for that.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. A few minutes left in the broadcast, friends, on this Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour.
And what's going on this weekend? Okay, we have church.
Yes, we do.
Stop by the church sometime. Remember that song?
I do.
Yeah, stop by the church sometime.
Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Sunday morning, 11.
More than sometime. Sunday, all the time.
Yeah, and Sunday night.
At 6:30.
Yeah, so plenty of opportunities to gather and assemble with other believers.
Yes.
Of course, our outreach on Saturday here in
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in the morning.
Fellowship Hall.
That's right.
Go out and evangelize. If you've never done it before, just come on down and you can go out with people that have done it before. Just walk along with them and watch what takes place and really be engaged in something that is so vitally important for us to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. And, really interesting. Really, it's really important. And nowadays, there's actually not a lot of popularity in doing that anymore, that much. But there are people that are there and available to help in that realm. And it's just great to be able to give the gospel to somebody. And by the way, sometimes somebody will say, well, when I shared the gospel and it was the reaction by people, guess what? It's to some it's life unto life and to some it's death unto death. But it's all a sweet-smelling savor to God. This is the key. So people have to have an opportunity to say no. To say no, or they reject the gospel. It's not everybody that's going to get on their knees when you give them the gospel and start praying that Jesus Christ would be their savior. You know, to the contrary, there's going to be people that say no, or maybe they'll think about it. It'll be something that's in their mind, and they'll take it home, and they'll think about it, and they'll make a decision later on. Could be a week later, a month later, 5 years later, whatever it may be. But there's definitely an opportunity for me to fellowship with God in bringing the message to a lost and dying world. So that's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, Fellowship Hall.
And all are welcome. And I love the fact that, again, if you have never done it before or you're a little fearful of doing it, we will put you together with someone who has some experience. You don't have to go out and do anything or say anything. Just watch, observe, learn. And really, what it comes down to, it's a joy to be able to share our faith with others.
Amen. Also want to mention that next Friday night, we start our summer classes, Grace and the Finished Work.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. The 10th. The 10th
That's right.
of June. And it's going to be 10 weeks, 9 or 10 weeks on the subject, Grace and the Finished Work. Next Friday night's class will be all about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and followed by a class on the Word of Grace. So you have an opportunity during the summertime on Friday nights to join us.
And what time does that happen?
6 to 8.
6 to 8 p.m.
6 o'clock at night.
And everybody's welcome?
Everybody's welcome. It's free.
Free of
charge. Free, 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 free.
Our favorite word. A couple of minutes left in the broadcast. We do want to remind you, in case you have not yet made your plans for this year's Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention, you know, it's coming up very quickly. I think Wednesday night we were in service and someone said, you know, there are 19 days until the start of the International Convention. It comes so quickly. So we trust that you've made your plans to be here and join us for that week. And it is a week-long celebration of Christ. And believers from around the globe will be gathering here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And the big tent is going to be put up very soon. The international booths will be built very soon. And, of course, the parking lot will be filled each and every night. It's going to be an extraordinary, memorable week. And we hope you've made your plans to join us. If you haven't, go to the website right away, ggwo.org, and click on this year's International Convention, and make sure that you can be here with us. There's no cost. How about that? There's no
fee.
Once again, like those Friday night classes in the summer,
free. Free.
Now, there is a fee for all of the children's and teenager activities because they may be traveling off campus and going to certain locations. There will be some fees involved with the young people's ministry, youth ministry, but everyone else, as far as registration is concerned, register, but there's no price, no cost. No cost.
Is that grace?
That's the grace of God.
I call it grace.
It's just our way of saying we want you to be built up in your faith.
Right. Don't get distracted by maybe things that are trying to take place that week, but come. Come and enjoy, you know. Especially people that live right here in Baltimore. Really?
Yeah.
You don't have that far to come, really. So you come, and you'll have an enjoyable time. You'll have the Word. You'll have a church fellowship life. We have booths, right?
That's right.
Where they're going to be
international food booths.
International food booths. You could get an international shirt like this one. I think that's international too. It's from New York.
That's from New York.
But you'll be very welcome. And maybe you've never come before, or maybe you've come once out of the week. But you know, there's so much available, and just to be in a place where you're receiving from that which is available to you, and then who knows where God will bring you.
Amen. And once again, calling all golfers.
Calling all golfers.
June 20th, the first day of the International Convention up at Mountain Branch Country Club. And we were up there yesterday taking a look at the facility and just putting together some final pieces for this annual golf tournament that we had. And I love the fact that this golf tournament has such, as we mentioned early in the broadcast, such an eternal purpose behind it. It's to raise funds for our international students, because we've got students that want to come here from India, from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, from South America, from every corner of the earth. They want to come here to be trained and to study at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. And many of them just don't have the means. Mm-hmm. They do not have the financial means to come here.
It's quite something.
It is. And this tournament helps to raise money for that purpose. And it's exciting to think that some of these international students will be able to come here, because people sign up for the golf tournament. You can register for that golf tournament at ggwo.org/events. And I hope you do that today so you can be with us out there in the course Monday, June 20th.
Evie Santiago sends us a message that her mother is coming. Yeah,
to the convention. How about that?
But okay, what about you, Evie?
Oh.
We miss seeing you. See if you can make it.
Would be great to have you.
Come on up.
We haven't seen you here in Baltimore for a long time.
Has it been a long time? I don't remember. Probably.
She's due.
But it would be great to have your mom here. I know if you can't make it because of work or something, but you never know. Keep praying.
Amen.
There's time.
There's still time. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Have a great weekend. Join us back here next week for a brand new week of broadcasting live on the Grace Hour.